shall we hear David's voice or Lynn's voice first, or everything's cool? Thanks, Lynn. You hear me okay, Lynn? Yes, I'm sure, since you answered. All right. Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, we had a great talk. And I was thinking, remember, I was thinking I said something, typed some things that might have been a little too strong, but I'm glad that you saw what I was doing. That I'm always trying to be helpful, you know, but I'm trying to get over this correction thing, and that's, I'm going to just put that out first, and then I'm going to go on to some other things. So I'm going to put everything in bold type. Okay, correction is not your function. It belongs to one who knows of fairness, not of guilt. If you assume correction's role, you lose the function of forgiveness. No one can forgive until he learns correction is but to forgive and never to accuse. And I'm glad you didn't take it that way at all, that I was saying you don't have it correct or whatever. That's not right. Or, you know, it's mainly for my own clarification, because I'm realizing, you know, what the Course is saying is eventually elevating us to a place where we actually don't notice the ego stuff as much as we used to. It keeps disappearing more and more. There's still some stuff there. There's still some forgiveness opportunities daily. And I can only say, if we think this way, that every time I have a forgiveness opportunity, I jump for joy, knowing that that's going to move me even closer to feeling great, to feeling in the happy dream. The happy dream, when you enter it, and I'm not saying I'm there, you feel happy. The rest of the world can be, you know, miserable, and you're not seeing it. Not that you're in denial, it's just that there is no world. The only world we want to see eventually is the real world, the false world that still sees the need to correct and fix and point fingers, correcting. I gotta correct my brothers. If I can correct them, then they'll get it, and then they'll get happy, and that'll lead them to make other people happy, and we'll have a happy earth. Forget it. You'll wait another billion years for that to happen. We are trying to perceive what's true in the world, and the world is only a neutral place that we decide what the perception, how I'm going to interpret what I'm seeing. And we've been brainwashed due to our own mastership. We are all masters playing the game of separation. And due to our own game that we're playing, it appears as if there's a world of good and evil. And it's strictly right from the beginning of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. It tells us in metaphors that 99% of most people don't really get. They think it's this metaphor is about the strange two humans, Adam and Eve, that ate of this tree, listened to the serpent, ate of the apple, and because they ate the apple, God comes down and banishes them from the Garden of Eden. All that is metaphor. We are Adam and Eve. We're the ones still eating the apple, in this case, or the fruit, is the metaphor for good and evil. And we have been learning good and evil, right and wrong, judgment from the get-go. And it says, the day you eat of this, from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. There's only one reason for death. We're still all into judgment. Let me take that back. I'm trying to get out of the we and accuse the brotherhood. I am still, from my viewpoint, see judgment. I'm trying to get to the point where, no, if I'm to see my brother as the Christ, I can't add my we ego crap. We are still looking for judgment. We're still, if I think that way, I'm not seeing my brother as the Christ. And that was the main discussion we were having, Sharon, where if we're still teaching about the ego's ways, and we're not seeing that the ego is actually our partner. See, when Lesson 25 says everything is for your own best interest, it's including the ego. The ego is now, I can turn around, the ego is now my, how do you say, the poker. It's poking me to expand. If I interpret it in that way, instead of interpreting it, the ego is bad, and I have to be aware of the ego, and I'm going to see the ego there, and I see the ego in all of the world, the whole sonship, which doesn't exist out there, the world doesn't exist out there, the sonship doesn't exist out there. The sonship is one within and has no ego and has none of this stuff we talk about. It's ego-less, the sonship. So if I'm still making a wee idea about the outer sons of God, I'm the one who suffers. I'm the one who's saying, oh, I want to stay free of the happy dream and true perception. I want to live in this world and see, you know, be part of the illusion of the world. That's what it's really saying. I feel comfortable in the illusion. I can make, you know, baby steps, and that's fine. But after all, spade is spade. If there is no world, and we're to see our brothers as the Christ, when I say we are, we are deluded. We are, seek and do not find, and the whole world is doing that. 99% of all the people out there have no clue. By me saying that, I can't enter the real world. I can't enter the happy dream if I'm still accusing, if I'm still pointing out, if I'm still judging. I have to remove that and say, hey, the world is neutral. There's nothing happening out there except what my mind is saying is happening out there. And of course, well, it's an easy thing to do because it's a part of the consensus reality. But as long as I'm still believing in an outside mass consciousness that's fallen, I'm the one who suffers. There is no mass consciousness. There is no world. There is no ego existence at all. It's all in the mind. And then we project it outwards, the mind creates these thought forms, like it says in the Course, all thinking produces form at some level. Chapter, section 6, paragraph 9, 13. All thinking produces form at some level. So when we're thinking like an ego, again, turn that around, Lenny, as I'm thinking like an ego, thoughts are being produced. Illusory thoughts that have no power whatsoever except for me to follow them and think they have power, and then eventually the thought form gels into a full-blown manifestation of a fire-breathing dragon, and I'm the one responsible for that fire-breathing dragon because of me believing that there's beings out there that can kill me. I don't really trust that I am eternal and indestructible, co-creator, one with God and everything forever, because I don't, you know, Course says that, but my doubts and all that might come up. So I have to, you know, be aware that there is no mass consciousness, there is no world. The only thing I want to face and see is the vision of what I think the kingdom of God is, or God. So God is changeless, and I'm seeing changes in the world. I'm just trapped in a delay tactic, a great delay tactic that thinks, well, everyone else is talking how they're in ego land, so I have to agree with them. There's ego land, and I'm the perceiver of it, which of course is ridiculous. Since we're trying to get the true perception, why not claim it now and stop thinking, well, I have to talk about the ego stuff in order to get past it. I have to look at it. We have looked at the ego and most of the darkness within us for ages, especially most of us that are Course students. We're doing witch hunts that are unnecessary, actually, because we're still thinking our unconscious mind has power. And as long as we believe that, as long as I believe that the ego has power over me, or the mass consciousness, or my consensus agreement with all 7 billion humans, if I still am placing that as a big error, a big ego thing, I'll never get to the powerful mind that I have that overrides all of that, to where everything becomes a little grain of sand, and I am the giant. I am Gulliver on the Lilliput Island, or whatever that is. That's what we are. We are these incredible God beings pretending that there is some type of ego that can bring us down. As long as I talk about the ego, like right now, the more I give it life, the more the thought forms are being made. So I have to get off that. Even trying to teach about the ego, I get stuck in it, because who am I teaching? Oh, I'm teaching the brotherhood that must need to learn this. So again, I'm blind to correction. Hey, Sharon, the script continues. I don't quite know what you mean by that, but you know. That's the thing about typing, that I'd rather talk on the phone. Let's say our phone conversation was night and day compared to maybe what we were typing, but that was necessary, the typing. Correction is not your function. Okay, if it's not my function, I gotta stop looking out there at the world to see what's wrong, to see what needs to be corrected. Right? Oh, so if we go on and on about it, yeah. So, but the way I'm going on and on about it is mainly to bring it down. It's more a weakening, but it's still putting focus on something that, of course, we'll say never happened. The true atonement says right now we are already in the kingdom. We are already at one in the kingdom. We are gallivanting with all our friends and every holy relationship, every extension of God in the kingdom right now, but we have a block on that and can't see it. Excuse me? I have a block on that and can't see it. Of course, in order to enter the happy dream, I have to see everyone as the Christ, and the most they're doing, they're using their power to play whatever games they want. Those games can't even affect me. My feet are not actually planted on a planet that still has the power to destroy me. No. That's the grand illusion. It looks like that, but that's not what it is. At all, according to the Course, and according to me claiming that and then feeling the difference as I claim my power, the world starts to disappear. The universe, the disappearance of the universe takes place, and Gary Renard is on the throne of his own egoless universe. And wherever a son of God is, even if it seems that they're out there, they're all within me. All trillion sons of gods, or how many extensions, trillion, zillion, gazillions, who cares? There's only one son, and after that you don't count. You just enjoy the sonship that is plural and wonderful. One day, when I'm in the kingdom of God, I might want to play baseball. I need a team. I need 17 other players, and I would say automatically, I want to play. Well, we all have to have temporarily limited bodies, because if we all were super beings, there's no game of baseball. Everyone's hitting a home run, or every pitcher is pitching 200 miles an hour, you know. So control limitation, I think, is part of the mastery of the Son of God. Controlled limitation, to be able to not lose our mind and become mindless, and control exactly the amount of limitation we need in order to play the game, the games of life that we are going to be playing for the rest of eternity. Now, I'm talking holy games, fun games, childlike games, where nobody can possibly even have a finger broken or anything go wrong. We remove the main obstacles to enjoying life to the fullest, even right now. We remove denial. We remove fear. We remove guilt. We could be working on
anger, I forgive myself for getting angry or whatever, but it all comes down to what made me angry. Believing that I'm a orphan. You know, denying that I am the Son of God, and that erupts into anger. Anger is only a result, again, of the three major blocks, and denial being the most major, and we can start forgiving ourselves for that denial, and really be more than welcome to see what's going to happen when we do that. The task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. Okay, I am the Son of God. I'm going to play this game of separation. I deny that I'm eternal and indestructible. I put a block there to make it appear as if I'm not eternal and indestructible, and automatically the thought forms start forming, and then eventually, before I know it, I'm in a full-blown physical manifestation where it appears as if I'm in a body, and that's just an offshoot of the putting a block on of denial of who I am. Denying who I am will create a universe of something that I'm not. And guess what? That's what I wanted to accomplish, and I did it. Where I lost scope of it is I remembered not to laugh about it. I took it seriously, and then I kept falling down the rabbit hole or falling from grace further and further until finally I'm in a world, born in a as a baby body in a world that I can't remember. I don't remember coming in. I don't remember probably very little of my childhood, and it's just not important because I was never a body born in a world of duality. I was the Son of God pretending to be this tiny little feather in the middle of a vast universe blowing from every corner of the universe, and I'm going from this thither and yonder as the feather. And that could be fun, but if it's only fun if I know who I am. The world can be a playground when I get to know who I am. Then the happy dream is there because the world has no power to hurt me. It's neutral. No one can hurt me, including even if I'm accusing the government or whatever. Every single being in the government is a son of God. Pretending to be a body, maybe, but that's none of my business what they're pretending to do. I only have to worry about what I'm pretending to do, not even worry. I only have to be concerned. I only have to focus on what I'm deluded about. No one else, because there is no world. There's only sons of God out there. And if I don't see them as the Christ, I'm not going to see myself as the Christ, and I'm just another beautiful, I mean another, not beautiful, but very powerful delay tactic. So, again, the task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. So this is where one of the denials would start. There is no mass consciousness. I deny that anything could be dualistic. Anything could be a different will than me, that there can be differences, and the differences can harm me. That is ego talk, and I just have to forgive that. No, that's not true. The task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. It's not true that I'm a human being on a planet with 2 feet planted on the ground, and above me are all these solar systems and galaxies and universes and you name it. There's trillions and zillions and gazillions of things that seem to be separated from me and out there. I'm denying that. There is no space, there is no time, and what I'm seeing is a vast illusion brought on by me creating scientists that say, astronauts astronomers, creating astronomers, astronomy, astronauts, stars, moons, and projecting them at a distance from me and having a whole planet full of people saying, yeah, that's true. And I'm saying, oh, really? Oh, it's so good to go to school and learn this BS. There is no distance between me and myself. if everything is me, if I'm everything's an extension of God, and I'm an extension of God, and everything I see in my world is an extension of God, then that's what I have to see, that everything's an extension of God, and everyone out there is safe and secure no matter what games they're playing. War games, crying, wailing. Every time a tragedy happens, oh my God, reinforce it so I, Lenny, can be convinced that I'm separate. And of course, this is coming up, right? Richard Bach's statement, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. Well, everyone out there is telling me who I am. They must know something. All 7 billion of them can't be wrong. So as little children, we just obey and follow the authority figures of adults who are deluded, mentally disturbed. They're all caught up in the web of ego. And there I go, accusing again. I'm trying to get away from that, but at least I'm vigilant. This is good. This is where the rubber meets the road, the vigilance. Yeah, I'm trying to be vigilant for the kingdom. Why? Oh, man. We can reach the to get a good taste, a good vibe from the kingdom of God while we're still in the stream. To get that, there's nothing greater, right? Anyone else out there that, welcome Cam and anyone else who's joining us, that knows what I'm talking about, that we can get that inner zing, that holy instant that just, you know, makes us realize and feel that we are not only safe and secure, but we are connected to the highest vibration in the universe. And that vibration is pure joy, pure love, pure ecstasy, pure harmony, wonder, excitement, but good excitement, divine, wow, whippy! Yep. And Cam, so you're the only one answering my question. Oh, well, all 20 people in the room. I guess I've lasted this many years here because I'm realizing I'm teaching myself. And if anyone's meant to get this, they will. The we thing is a big thing, and I never hear it talked about in this room, so I know most people are deaf and dumb to this, in my opinion. Again, there is nobody out there, Lenny, that can be deaf and dumb. Remember that. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit within. Okay, I'm going to go to some of my oneness coaches, and still nobody even... You see, Cam, I can see why you don't come to this room too often. You know, you talk and nobody responds. It's amazing. 20 people in the room. I got to assume there's plenty of people in ACIM Gather Radio. Oh boy. Well, here's something, lesson 158 that Cam has sent me, and then Lenny's speaking to us. I better show that I'm there, and I'll giggle and make a smile. But were you listening to the question I asked, Lynn? You would have answered it. Uh-oh, I'm accusing the brotherhood again. Okay. You hypocrite, Lenny. You say you're not going to do that, and yet you do it. Okay. Lesson 158. Today I learned to give as I receive. And I'm going to play it.
Today I learn to give as I receive. What has been given you? The knowledge that you are a mind, in mind and purely mind, sinless forever, wholly unafraid, because you were created out of love. Nor have you left your source, remaining as you were created. This was given you as knowledge which you cannot lose. It was given as well to every living thing, for by that knowledge only does it live.
Vigilance, right? What has been given you? Question mark. What has been given you? The knowledge that you are a mind, in mind. When it says you are a mind with a small m, and then it says in mind with a big m, we are in the mind of God right now. And purely mind, that's the knowledge that you are a mind, in mind, and purely mind, sinless forever, Again, why are we talking about the ego? We're egoless. We're sinless forever. We got to get off that ego track, in my opinion. Or I have to get off it, since I'm not, since everyone else is doing whatever they want. Sinless forever, wholly unafraid, bold, fearless, because you were created out of love. Nor have you left the source, capital S source, remaining as you were created. We are remaining as the Son of God, and indestructible, and incapable of being threatened, so nothing out there can actually threaten us, so I just have to let go and not give power to anything out there of what's happening, or what did happen, what has happened in the past. To teach any of that just reinforces that we're not there.
Well, I have to be down to earth.
Then enjoy your down to earth illusions. Nothing wrong with that. Everyone has freedom to enjoy their illusions. But to teach about it, that's another thing. So let me go on to... So we do have these powerful minds, super powerful minds, and we can now use them to transcend thoughts that are limited. Again, Richard Bach says it best, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. There's a lot of arguments going on in ACIM Gather that... why I don't come that often. I am going to come this Sunday, but to hear Christian, I think I like what he has to say. And, of course, Doug and Lynn. I mean, most people are, you know, but it's my own thing. I have to, the vigilance of this we thing is my next step, and I just have to at least be able not to, not that I there are forgiveness opportunities, and I am vigilant, but sometimes... It's just hard for me sometimes to take it from so-called core students who I probably have set up on a pedestal. They should know better. But, you know, we're all where we're at, and that's where it's at. As Sharon has said, I am where I am. That's where I am. Can't take giant steps. And that's true, but I'm going to keep pounding away, Sharon.
You have received all this. No one who walks the world but has received it. It is not this knowledge which you give, for that is what creation gave. All this cannot be learned. What then are you to learn to give today? Our lesson yesterday evoked a theme found early in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. The revelation that the Father and the Son are one will come in time to every mind. Yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not the thought. The time is set already.
Sorry about that. Let's go back. Just that section again.
Early in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. The revelation that the Father and the Son are one will come in time to every mind. Yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not thought.
Well, according to this, yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not taught. Again, I gotta remember for myself, I'm not teaching anyone to correct them or to teach them, oh, like they're going to get a, aha, that's the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say to anyone for them to get that aha moment or whatever. Not me. Because if I take credit for it, I'm not really joining in knowing that they have their own higher self, Holy Spirit, God within. And they don't need Lenny or anyone else from outside themselves to teach them something new. Now, if I could teach them, close your eyes and go within and get your full power as the Christ and Son of God, that would be true. But it's not up to me to determine when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it. None of my business. Because if I get caught up in that minutia, again, my mind is on a limitation. I'm trying to get to the place where God is changeless, the Father is changeless, I am changeless. And we, the sonship, are changeless. The Father is formless, I am formless. That means the whole sonship is formless. I am love, God is love, I am love. The whole sonship is love. If I'm seeing anything other than that, delay tactic. Because there's nothing finer than waking up today, right now. What are we waiting for? Well, it takes time. Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. Richard Bach. Well, there's lots of things that don't go my way. Well, that's in the past. The past doesn't exist. We're trying to get off. I see only the past. Why bring up a past that will reinforce our now into not changing, into what I can envision right this very moment, whether the whole world is still going crazy or not? There is no outside world that has any cause whatsoever. It doesn't matter if it's exploding. It doesn't have cause over me, who's an eternal, indestructible being. I was shown that in a dream once. I had a dream where I can see that in the distance that there were alien ships, very extremely real, like covering, things that are shaped like in Star Wars. I guess for me to get the dream interpretation, I had to see that. And there they are in a distance, and then I could see mushroom clouds in the distance. And they're dropping things on the city. And they're getting closer and closer to me, and finally they drop the bomb, and whoosh! A flash! And the next moment I wake up feeling wonderful. And I would say that was a dream about my indestructibility. It doesn't matter if a billion megaton bombs are dropped right on my brain, right at my feet, where my body blows up into smithereens. I still will wake up and brush off the dust and say, wow, what a ride. That's not very nice. I'm going to go blog this on my blog. Look what happened to me. I was blown up into smithereens. But I couldn't die, so I'm able to type right now the terrible thing that happened to me. Anyone else out there that had similar blown to smithereens? And so it doesn't matter if our body is blown to smithereens or dies or even has cancer. Other than, you know, the pain of it should motivate us to try to free ourselves. That's what pain is for, so that we don't get stuck. We don't get into our little comfort zone and, oh, well, I've done the best I can with the tools I've been given, and I'll just wait out to the end of my life, and then I'll, you know, maybe something good will happen. No. We have the kingdom of God present right now, and even if we can't reach the kingdom right now, which we're already one with, so it's not a reaching for, we can experience the gentility, the ease and comfort of a true comfort, divine comfort, from the happy dream. True perception, seeing truly that there is nothing out there that I can't label as beneficial or good on some level. That is beneficial to me. None of my business, other than it's going to be beneficial to everyone, whether they label and assign that label to everything they experience. You know, it's doesn't matter whether they verbally seem to get it or not. They are the Christ, and they are exactly where they're supposed to be. All 8, 6, 7 billion people, all animals, insects, you know, they are exactly where they should be. If they would be anywhere else, then they were exactly where they were destined to be there. So I need do nothing. The Course makes it very strong. I need do nothing. Well, actually, the main emphasis that I mainly put is on the do. I need do nothing. I can do if I want. I can play in the playground if I want, but I don't need to play in the playground. I don't need to talk. I don't need to do anything. I need do nothing. That means I can be inspired to do things. The Holy Spirit within will inspire me to do something. Of course, I'm still doing. We cannot not do unless we realize that's a complete illusion. That's something else. But if we're still breathing, that's a doing. We're still preparing breakfast or lunch, dinner, making your bed, doing. Now, these type of doings, as long as I don't say, I need to make my bed, I better make my bed, I should make my bed, I should eat breakfast that's exactly 6 a.m. every day, within a 10 or 15 minutes of 6 a.m. or whatever, I need do absolutely nothing. And it's not about doing. It's about thinking. I need think correctly. And once I think correctly, that thinking will automatically make me do things that are all aligned to the will of God, making me one with the will of God. And that's what the Course teaches. There is no difference between the will of God and the Son. My will and God's will are the same. There is no difference. There is no private mind where my will is separate from other private minds, and we're all doing 7 billion different things. There is no mass consciousness.
Unless you believe it,
then enjoy the ride. Believing in the mass consciousness, enjoy the ride that where it'll take you. Okay. You have received all this. No one who walks the world but has received it. And it's not really a receiving. We've always had it. We've always had the knowledge. Right now, it's at our fingertips. Don't even have to read a book. Don't even just have to remove the blocks of the awareness of knowledge's presence, of love, joy, peace, harmony's presence. Just have to remove the box. That's all. If I need to do anything, it's remove the box to the awareness of love's presence. So you have received all this. So we've received it all. Right now, I am brimming over with all the gifts, the equal gifts that the Father has given me. I am filled to capacity. We are all filled to capacity equally. No one has a different gift than anyone else except in this world. One is a talented singer, dancer, actor, pianist, baseball player, football player, gymnast. We all have, in this world, to make the illusion grander, separate seeming gifts. Or at least that's what I'm perceiving, and that's fine. Everyone, I see label it a game. They're playing. Some people are playing with one gift that is better than the other. So they have Star Search and American Idol and all that. But from God's viewpoint, we're all the exact holographic duplication of the one and only, the Father. So it's really, again, the Father that's the only being that exists. Right now, it's the Father talking through the Holy Spirit and talking through me, or the ego, depending on how I'm filtering it. The Father is being himself through me. And the Father is enjoying the playground 100%. The Father's not looking out there to see what's wrong. The Father doesn't even know about wrong. The Father doesn't know about separation. The Father doesn't even know that we're dreaming this. The Father doesn't deal with dreams. The Father deals with reality because the Father is the reality of realities. And when we realize that we are the holographic duplications of that same one being, then we start becoming that being. It starts to produce itself. It starts to shine through the body, let's say, where you know, again, it's really the automatic safety and security that I cannot be victimized anymore because I'm not attracting it, I'm not creating it, I'm not believing in it. Jesus says he was never betrayed. Who are we going to believe, Jesus or the faulty people that wrote the Bible? Jesus, you know, that it just didn't happen. He doesn't believe in betrayal. He doesn't believe in duality. If you don't believe in duality, then what was going on? If it wasn't a betrayal, what was that? The greatest, most powerful way you can wake up. You wake up dying on a cross. You know, you're dying, supposedly, you're experiencing death, and the next moment you're raising the atoms that were once in your body. That is all illusion, but we have command of the atoms. We have command. We just have to, you know, get back to Adam, A-D-A-M, becoming the non-fallen Adam and Eve, and we get all our atoms back. And we get Eve with all the electrons. Atoms and electrons. And then we are able to create a form, a thought form that eventually, you know, because Jesus put so much attention on that, all thinking produces form at some level, he probably was visualizing the whole time during the 30 or 40 days on the Mount meditating, visualizing his body rising, visualizing a body coming up from the grave and becoming animated again. Eventually that vision became true, or at least I believe it's true, that whatever great marvelous miracles that Jesus did, we can do, and even greater miracles. Why? Because it's the process of this, of the Son of God waking up, coming from really deep down attached to the ground and the dust and the dirt and the electrons and the atoms, to being so free that you are the phoenix rising from the dust. And that's what's happening. We are going from where the world was 4,000 years ago to, from what I imagine, was absolutely brutal. You know, the victory was the main thing. Kill your enemy. And that was the way the world was 4,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago. And it's still happening in this world and other parts of the world, but still overall, it's not as brutal and barbaric as it was. And 1,000 years from now, it'll be even softer. It's the evolution of awakening. We're going to get this stuff whether we like it or not. God, in the Course of Miracles, says there's only so far we can go. God will not allow us the leash that we're on, you know, the safety and security leash, the leash that the Father is holding on to quite firmly for all of our time and separation, I guess. And we can only go so far. And you know, delay in time, the only bad, you know, in time, what is it? Delay in time is tragic. Delay in time is tragic. So, and in the Bible, I think it says something like, 1 second is the same as a billion years to God. There is no time. God already knows the separation has been dissolved, healed, 100%. In the truth of what it is, it's healed, it never happened. Now our choosing to believe that has to catch up with that. And that's where the problem is. The illusion is too strong for some of us to believe that we're already there. It's already been done. We're already firmly placed in the kingdom, never to be pulled away by illusion again. The only thing we have to do is get there. Get unstuck from the illusion that we are seemingly stuck in, and free ourselves, get back into close proximity, at least something that's called the happy dream, where it's really happy, where we're not arguing for our limitations, where we don't believe in limitations, where we see every son of God on the planet using their powers to do whatever they want, whatever games they want to play. They want to play rollerblading games where they fall, skateboard off of rooftops onto other rooftops, and they lose an arm or a leg or whatever. That's their freedom. I don't care, even if they play those stupid games and then after complain, when they're the ones that choose to play those games. And the Son of God has chosen to play the game of separation, and that's all right. Play it to your heart's content. I'm not going to get involved in that. I can't help the sonship if I get entrenched in it as deep as, I'm at least the appearance of it for my human eyes see, but I can't believe that. Why would I focus on illusion, something that's not happening, and then point it out, and then teach it, or whatever, reinforce it? Yes, this is happening, and that happened last year, and this happened 20 years ago, and I could see that it hasn't been forgiven, because when it's really forgiven, there is no past. The thing that happened 20 years ago, I don't need to put it into a realistic historical thing that happened. I could be like Jesus and make it into a parable where it's true right now if I haven't forgiven it or let it go. Does that make sense to anyone? In case anyone's listening.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, so it made sense to a couple of people. Yes, Lenny, I am listening. Thank you. What did I say? Repeat back word for word, Lynn. Thanks, Lenny. Gotta go. Goodbye. Couldn't answer my question, so I know nobody's listening. Oh, well. What can you do? Anybody from ACIM Gather listening, come in here for a couple of seconds and let me know. Jesus Parables. Yeah, what I'm trying to, but you see what I mean, the point I'm trying to make, thanks David, is that instead of bringing up the past in realistic historical things that happen, to turn it into a parable for something that's right now, so we don't get stuck in the past. Let's say, 20 years ago, my father kicked me out of the house, and I took all his money and squandered it, and then I said, oh, Dad, please let me come back, please. And my father was angry at first, but he said, okay, son, you come on back home. And this happened 20 years ago, and my mother tried to stop it, and whereas the parable is happening right now. I'm the lost son, seemingly right now, playing the game of being lost, and I can see in my vision that the father has his arms open wide, and he's welcoming me home right now. Of course, that was a pretty poor generalization, but you get what I mean. So, yes, every story I'm saying every story can be turned into a parable instead of bringing up the evidence of something in the past that happened, and I can hear by what I'm hearing, and that's for my own forgiveness opportunity, that, it hasn't been forgiven. When we really forgive, the past doesn't exist. And proof of it is saying the past into a present day parable story that can be used to enlighten, like Jesus. So, but Lenny, you can't expect people to know exactly what you're talking about. You're right. So I'm going to go back into the lesson 158 and that I was playing, and let me This is the one that Cam gave me. You have received all this, everything. We have it all. We are all sharing the same one infinite, boundless mind of God. And in that mind of God is every single gift equally shared with all the sonship. So in that, if we want to, from an earthly viewpoint, we are the greatest singers, we're the greatest dancers, we're the greatest everything. Okay, there's no competition in that. Let's put a very calculated illusion to make us slightly different so we can enjoy these differences. The kaleidoscope effect, we can enjoy it. Then all being the same one talented being, you know, and sharing it, that's fine. But the Son of God has the power of in my opinion this may not be true, by the way, I don't know. The Son of God has the power to hone that gift, to make it into something that might appear a little different than somebody else's gift. But if it's done in a way that it's known, and that's the effect that we want, it's okay. I think that I can use limitation to my advantage. Because I believe God is changeless, but the creation is not changeless. So there is a God, the Father, that's changeless, formless, beginningless, endless, and he's allowed something called both the holy relationship to be, which shows that there has to be more than one Son of God to be in a holy relationship, and also creation, which I believe is more like a kaleidoscope sort of a thing. But it is a changing creation. It's not the changeless like the Father. Again, the four truths of Bashar, the first one, we exist. Nothing I could do about that. I exist for eternity whether I like it or not. Two, all is one and the one is all. We're one whether we like it or not. There is no separation whatsoever. Three, what I put out is what I get back. And that's instantaneous. Giving and receiving are one. And fourth is everything changes except for the first three laws. So God is changeless. Oneness is changeless. The law of attraction or instant creation is changeless. And things, but there is a creation that can be a kaleidoscope and can change. That's my belief. It works for me. It seems right. And I have, the way I feel makes it feel that I'm on track with that. So you have received all this. No one who walks the world but has received it. Every single person has equal knowledge. It is not this knowledge you give. It is not this knowledge which you give, for that is what creation gave. I'm not giving knowledge out to people. They already have it. I just can be the catalyst maybe, but I'm not even that. The Holy Spirit is a catalyst through me. Tells me where to go, what to say, how to do it, blah, 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 blah. So, it is not this knowledge which you give, for that is what creation give. All this cannot be learned. The knowledge of God, the problem is that we go to school to try to learn things, but it's not, we're not learning, we don't need to learn once we know that we already know it all, everything is within us, there's nothing, schools are meaningless, except to teach us how to judge and be critical and be, always know that there's a tough world out there and here's some of the solutions, which just keeps us in ego land longer. All this cannot be learned. What then are you to learn to give today? Our lesson yesterday evoked a theme found earlier in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. So I can't share. So all these experiences that we talk about in the past to try to teach, it cannot, it's really just reinforcing the same experience in the person that's teaching it. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. Vision is, I am the Son of God. I can envision myself as Superman. where I have absolutely no limitations. And Superman evidently is in a body, but that's a better vision to visualize myself as Superman flying in a body than to envision myself 20 years ago being punched in the face by somebody that I still haven't learned to forgive or whatever. What then are you to learn to give today? Our lesson yesterday about the theme found earlier in the text. Experience cannot be shared directly in the way that vision can. So the Course really wants us to get into visioning more. The revelations of the Father and the Son are one, will come in time to every mind. So that's already a done deal. Yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not taught? So even this, what I'm teaching, is really, that's why David and me and the Course says I'm really only teaching myself. Because everyone in the room is going to get it at their own predetermined time. Their destiny will open up, according to this. Yet is that time determined by the mind itself, not taught? So the only thing I can do, again, is to get to, even if I'm trying to teach, I have to forgive. After I get out of this room, I'm going to be forgiving for whatever. Since that's my main function, I can't correct. I can't look for something that's wrong out there to correct, because then I'm not seeing the Christ out there. So I forgive my... Is it that time? One more minute I have. I forgive myself for creating that illusion. I forgive myself for falling for that illusion. I forgive myself for miscreating. I forgive myself for making that real. That's all I have to do. That's my main forgiveness thing. Very quick. Very deliberate. Right on the spot. And now it's 11:30 on my computer clock, so... Thank you all, and I'll turn over the microphone to Tay. But I have to, I can.
Good morning, Lenny. Thank you.